Well, here we are again, listeners, on side two of the tape. And as Malcolm Gerling was talking about labels on his description things, we tend to use the labels which are supplied with the disc. In fact, usually print labels don't produce very good braille, but these produce exceptionally good braille, I think. So I tend to use them.
I can read them with my unsensitive fingers.
But with the files that we've got at the moment, they don't provide any labels. Anyway, here's Frank once again to tell you about the competition. Any new listeners won't have heard about the competition which we've first
This is our latest competition, which we're trying to urge you all to write some new music for us. And those who do will win a box of 10 discs. They're BBC or IBM. Doesn't matter, they're 5 1/4 floppies. They will format for the ADFS or the DFS, and they will also format for an IBM PC, Amstrad, or whatever compatible you have got. And I know this because I've just formatted 5 of them for the PC 1640.
Well, we thought it would be nice to have something original with the name the computer, because some of you may remember The Typewriter by Leroy Anderson.
I only remember hearing it a second time around mine. So now, if anyone who has a tune can organise it for September, October, on the October edition of the magazine, and can get it into us by September or October, we'd be very grateful, and you will get these 10 discs. If you just want 10 discs, £4 a box, and you will get them. They're in a file. They're actually a nice file which you can store other discs in. There are 2 or 3 pockets in the files, depending on the ones which we send you out. You can put all these discs in, nicely stored, nice and neat, and they will work fairly well. So let us know, I mean, otherwise, or I'm going to have to use them all up. And I'm slowly getting through that at the moment. Offer won't go forever. Okay, we have another address for you. Whoever likes EPROMs and decides to write their own programs, of course, and save them into Sideways, and then thinks, oh, I shall put them on an EPROM. If you want to do that, and you want some reasonable EPROMs, the more you buy, the cheaper they are. So you can sort something out there. Ground Control are the people who sell them, and their address is Alfred Avenue, which is Alfredo, I suppose Alfredo Avenue, Hull Bridge, Hullbridge, Hockley, Hockley, Essex, SS56LT, that's Lima Tango. So their phone number, if you wanted to ring them, which is much quicker, I often ring people and then they quote me the correct prices and you can send off the checks and so forth. So it is 0702 230 324. And also, if you would like an EEPROM blower, that is an EEPROM eraser, correction, you can write to those. If you want the blower, I got mine from Watford Electronics.
Well, there you are, some useful information from Frank there. And if any of you want to submit an entry for the competition, however good or bad you feel it is, then we look forward to it, either on tape or disc or whatever. So, and that's to be in by about the middle of September. And if, of course, you have any articles, questions, comments, etc., we'd like to hear from you also by about the middle of September. Here is another very short article from A New Voice on the magazine.
My name is David Summerfield. I'm a relative novice in microcomputing, and a new member of your Computer Talk user group. I picked up a tip just recently. Now, many of you, I'm sure, would use the empty loops for making pauses in computer programming. And by that I refer to the, for instance, 4x equals 1 to 9000 colon next x. Now, an alternative to this, and perhaps more efficient in terms that you can control it, again, forgive me if some of you already know this, is to use the time thing that's built into the BBC Master. And for example, if we used x equals time, colon, repeat until time, minus x greater than 9000. Now that latter pause would cause the computer to count exactly for 9 seconds. So using the centisecond system and this time loop is a very efficient way of making the pause necessary in the speech synthesis in a program. Thank you.
And thank you also, David Summerfield, for that little article. And sometimes these little tips and bits and pieces can be of great benefit to users. So anyone who has anything like that, however long or short it is, do feel free to send it to us. Well, here is a rather longer article, which I think some of you may find rather interesting, as it is on a subject we haven't covered on the video group before now. So here goes.
Hello everyone, this is Ray Hazan, and Julia's asked me to follow up an article I did on the Eureka by going into a bit more detail into one particular aspect, and that was the modem within the Eureka. Now, as a blind person, whether you're unemployed or employed, and if employed at whatever level of job, there's always one bugbear, and that is, of course, you cannot read your own mail, and therefore I suppose for some employers they would regard you as not totally cost effective. Well, there is one small answer to that, and that is, of course, having a modem and being able to send and receive electronic mail. Now, I've been associated with the HASICOM project. HASICOM stands for Hearing and Sight Impaired Communications, since it began just over 6 years ago. And this is a project which enables deaf-blind people to communicate with each other, or indeed to receive news and information via their braille receivers. The VersaBraille, in fact. And this project, in fact, started originally with a similar project for the deaf, where they had telephones with little VDU screens and a keyboard, and they simply used the telephone line as a means of hitching one VDU to another so that they could type written messages to each other, which of course meant spent a long time on the phone. And so basically, electronic mail is simply using the telephone line as a method of connecting two devices together, which can therefore speak one to another. And you can either literally, through your own telephone at home, dial direct to a friend and agree, you know, to switch on your machines and pump a message down the line, or you can use British Telecom's Gold system, and that's more the system I would like to demonstrate today. I'm going to use oversimplified terms, perhaps, because I'm not a very technical person myself, as I've said before. Now, BT Gold really is just a computer with a massive great memory, and in its memory are these various pigeonholes, just as you would have if you were sending a print letter to somebody and leaving it in a post box for them to collect from that post box or pigeonhole. Each pigeonhole in the computer has your own particular call sign. In my case, it's BKU, standing for Breakthrough 111. And so what I'm doing is simply writing a message on my computer, pumping that down the line to the BT Gold computer with the addressee's number on it. And so it's stored in the memory of the BT computer. And then when the addressee switches on his machine and dials into BT Gold, he will find my letter waiting in his pigeonhole, and so he can read it. No envelopes, no stamps, and which way have I put the stamp up, and so on. Absolutely marvellous. So at last, in a way, here is a method of sending letters that you can read and write yourself. In fact, BT Gold has many more options. It has got all sorts of, I think there's various databases on it, jokes and so on. You can use the editor within the BT computer. You can, if you want, file, use it as a filing system. But of course that all costs money. Basically, I think it's about £100 to purchase a mailbox in BT Gold. Then over and above that, every time you send a letter, you pay for computer time and or a combination of, I think it's 11p per 89 characters. So it can mount up. And then, of course, also your phone bill on top of that. But it doesn't matter what device you're using. I think this is one of the big advantages of using a telephone line. The deafblind will translate the ASCII coming down the telephone line onto their braille receiver. Obviously, a deaf person would simply use a screen. I use a screen with the Apollo system or the Frank audio data. So the ASCII is translated into synthetic speech. So there are many, many options. Now, let's talk about what you need at home to access BT Gold. First of all, of course, you need a modem. This is simply a box which lies between your computer and the telephone socket in the wall and converts the ASCII code into a series of, I think it's binary bleeps and chirps and things which you may or may not have heard on the telephone line sometimes. And down it goes down the line to the modem at the other end, which then reconverts it back into ASCII for your device then to convert once again into, as I said, braille or print on the screen or speech or whatever. I hope that's all clear enough. Basically, that's how it works. As I said, over and above mail, the deafblind can receive CFAX and Oracle. You can access the different types of Prestel with it. And, of course, the various bulletin boards that you may have heard about throughout the country. Again, you simply need the modem and, of course, the software to be able to control that modem, to set its baud rates and stop bits and parity and things like that. So that's what you need at home, your modem and your software. Modems, I think, can cost anything from £70-odd, maybe even cheaper, up to, well, the sky's the limit, £400, £500, £1200. The higher the baud rate and so on, the more expensive the modem. But anyway, the Eureka has the modem built into it. So I have simply got an ordinary handset telephone plugged into one of the two telephone sockets on the Eureka, and the other socket goes from the Eureka directly into the wall. So therefore my Eureka is in between the telephone and the wall socket. And I can use the handset quite normally, receive and send calls in speech, and simply then access the Eureka and the modem when I need it. So what I've done is I have written a letter to myself into my mailbox in the office on Friday, a couple of days ago, and we'll now access that letter. It's very basic and short, and see how it goes. So first of all, I'll turn the Eureka on. Now I'm going to access the communications package. And again, the beauty with the Eureka is all the function keys now have changed into the communicating functions, and I only need to press one key, which will dial a preset number into BT Gold. I'm accessing it at 1275, so that's 1200 receive 75 send, so that way I can read my mail much more quickly. And so all the number is 583-1275. If it's at 300 baud rate, it's 583-3000, or 300 with an extra naught. So, you know, it's quite simply organised. So here we go. We're now going to dial into BT Gold.
1275.
And there you can hear the modem, the auto dial in the modem clicking through, hopefully, and it will tell me when it's got through. And
waiting.
Right, we're through, and I just hit return.
Okay.
It's okay now for me. First of all, there are several different sort of groups within BT Gold, and I'm on group 79, so we have to first identify that.
Right, so this is WPF5 4 speed 1200 per rate FM.
Okay, it will always finish off with a greater than sign, so it means that I'm into BT Gold now, and it's waiting for me to identify myself. I've got to tell it my mailbox number and give it a private password. You'll obviously hear this password, so I should be changing it when I've finished this article. But it does mean that way, in theory, nobody else should be able to access your mailbox because they haven't got your password. So here we go to identify myself, ID.
Nine.
Whoops, that didn't go right.
Nine.
Just try it again.
IDEKU111BTALK.
Now I don't think this is going to work because
U100. Not again, command per rate FM.
No, it didn't like it. Oh, I think I mentioned before that unfortunately Eureka and my keyboard don't seem to get on. And I was trying to type CALL79 and it came out as something else, so it won't recognize that as a my group per command. So let's try again.
CALL79.
That's better.
Call 79*************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************** C-E-U-T-A-L-K.
Yep, I think we're in now. Right, now I don't know if you heard that last line. Basically there it was saying what time I signed on and the date and the last time I was on. And then it finishes by telling you how many letters you've got in your mailbox. So let's just go back up and read that again. It said mail, one, it said read, but one read and six unread. So there are seven letters in my mailbox. Now, in order to find out what those letters are, without having to read each one, I can do a mail scan or quick scan, and it will simply tell me one from Joe Bloggs, the date it was sent, and the subject heading. So let's just try that. Mail QSC, mail quick scan. I must say that in the office I never have this problem. Now it's, you can hear that sound, it's pumping down the line, the list of letters. I'm going to stop it there because it will just simply go on. But there you are, you see a list, reply sent on Friday about a fundraising walk, a letter I sent. Anyway, the first letter actually is the one that we want to read. So I'm going to now ask it to pick up that first letter and read it to us. So here we go. Asked me to action required. Well, we don't need it anymore, so I just hit D for delete.
D. D and send mail greater than.
I'm going to leave those other letters in, so I can just switch off now, and I just simply type off. Well, it'll simply go on to tell me how much computer time I used and so on. Now that is just a very brief demonstration of accessing your mailbox. There are many different commands you can give. Obviously, the less time you spend on the phone, the better. So you simply make as much use of your memory in the computer as possible. By that I mean that if you're writing a letter, you write your letter first, then access BT Gold and simply squirt the letter down the line at 300 baud, so your letter's sent off reasonably quickly. And for receiving, as I said, I receive at 1275, so I'm reading the mail at 1200 baud, simply straight into memory, switch out of the telephone, and then you can go back quietly and read the letters at your ease. I access the mailbox most days during the working hours and receive a bill for about £20 a month, somewhere between £14 and £20 a month. You can imagine a deaf-blind person obviously spends much longer because you also, for instance, have the facility to chat. You can ask the computer, BT Gold computer, who else is on the line, and if it comes up with somebody you know, you simply type chat BKU111, and it'll come up on your screen, so on my screen as I'm writing or something. And if you do want to go have a chat with them, then you simply access your BT Gold communications packet or whatever and go back and start chatting keyboard to keyboard. But obviously that does take a long time, and you're being charged all the while. Having said that, the only concession BT make to the deafblind is that if they use it after 7 p.m, there's a flat £5 a month standard charge for computer time, so they only have to pay their phone bills, which still amounts to about £200 a quarter, so it's a very pricey business. Anyway, I hope that demonstration is sufficient. Very, very handy for visually handicapped people, obviously, who can then read and write their own mail to sort of receive 6 letters, like I've got now. The one or two might need a reply. Just be able to then quickly dash off a reply and pump it back down the line again. Marvellous. Can have letters sent to the BT computer but not released until a specific date. If you want to send a round robin, you only write the letter once, but mail, for instance, if I was sending one to everybody in Hazicom, it's simply send mail to hcm.all, and that means that all 30 odd people will receive my letter. Of course, you can specify just one or two individuals to receive your letter. So there's a lot more to it than I can begin to explain. Anyway, I hope that's been of vague interest, and there are other people in this network, Roger Goodchild, Mike Cassidy, who also have access to this electronic mailbox. So I'm sure that if anyone wishes to pursue it any further, you know, we'd be only too happy to help. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.
Well, thanks once again to Ray Hosan for that very interesting article on how you go about using a modem, which is something we haven't had on Computer Talk before, although people have had it on the Whistler with the IBM. However, way back in January, some of you will remember that Albert Yeo was giving us a demonstration on Vue, which is the word processor in situ in the master, and bring you up to date quickly for those who have only just joined the group, and welcome of course to new listeners to the VDU group. Albert was telling us that you have 2 screens, the edit screen and the command screen. It doesn't have a menu, but when you go into the edit screen, there are what are called highlights on F4 and F5, into which you put commands for underscoring or bold characters, etc. And then he was showing you how to put in other commands with the help of F8. And this time he's going to show us how to do a ruler which determines width of page. And this you do after having put your commands in. So here he is to speak to you once again.
And the way we do that is to press Control and F8, which we'll do, and it doesn't speak, but we are now in a position to create a ruler on the next blank line. So a ruler as default setting consists of full stops with stars inserted here and there, which are tab points. Wherever you put a star, when you press tab in your text, the cursor will jump to the first star in the ruler. If you don't want any tabs, you needn't put any stars. And another facility is that if you put a letter B anywhere in the ruler, at that point on every line as you enter text, the computer will bleep, rather like the bell on a typewriter. So if you want a six-space warning before the end of the line, you put a letter B, six full stops from the end of the ruler. Now, it's a nuisance having to listen to a ruler if you're editing with speech. It's a nuisance to listen to period, 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 star, period, period, all the time. So instead of full stops, you can enter spaces. You don't actually need this bell facility, the B in the ruler, or I don't, because Vue will wrap round automatically when it gets to the end of a line. It will, the cursor will go back to the beginning of the next clear line, and text will go onto that line, and it won't split words. When it comes to the end of a word and you type in another word and Vue sees that there isn't room for it on that line for the whole of it, it won't split it. It'll go back to the beginning of the next line and put the word there. So there's no splitting of words or anything of that sort. And there's another command which you can use to tidy it all up afterwards, which we'll deal with. These commands that we've been issuing under this edit command are entered in the edit screen. There are other commands which are entered from the command screen, and we'll deal with those in a minute. So now we're busy doing a ruler. I ought to say that if you wanted to simply put a new copy of the original ruler at the top of the screen, you could simply press Control and F5, which would copy the top ruler underneath your commands. And from then on, all your printing, even your first page of print, will all obey the various commands that are above that new ruler. But we want to create a new one to demonstrate. So what we do is this. We put a greater than symbol, which says, this is the left-hand margin, so...
Greater than.
Right. Now, we want a 40-character line. The greater than accounts for one character, so... And the less than, which is the right-hand margin stop, accounts for another character, leaving us with 38 characters we need. So we'll put 38 spaces. That's 10. That's 20, that's 30, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Now, a less than for the right-hand margin stop.
Less than.
Now, just a few spaces to take us to the end of the line. It should be about, we'll put 40, just to be sure. And press return. Now we're on a clear line and we've got a ruler above it, and we can prove that by tabbing into screen reader by pressing the tab key.
Screen reading.
Right.
ST greater than less than.
You'll hear that isn't the original ruler. There's no star, no full stops and stars. That's because once you set a new ruler, the old ruler at the top changes to conform with the new ruler that you've set. And if you alter the ruler during your text, you may want to set a new ruler for a certain area of your text and then go back to the original ruler or something like that. Each time you do, anywhere in your text, your top ruler, the original one, will alter to conform with it. So what that said was, FJ means justification is switched on. Justification being the leveling of the text on either the left or right hand side, and right justification is automatically set so that wherever you put your margin stop, Vue will make your text level down that side. If you want to remove justification for any reason so that you can type over into the margin or something, you can do it with a command issued in the command screen, which is RJ, and that switches it off. And then if you do it again, it switches it on again. So then you get the greater than, which is the left margin stop. And then if we'd set it up to speak spaces, it would go space, 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 space for 38 spaces. And then it would say less than for the right-hand margin stop, which we've set. and then about 40 more spaces to the end of the default setting line. Now, any text we enter now will be 40 characters wide, because we've set that ruler. Now, that was the original top line ruler, which is there by default when you switch into the edit screen. But because we've set a new one a bit lower down, the top one now conforms to it. So the next line will contain the edit command, pressing L.
HD1129.
That's it. HT, which was the edit command in the margin. 1, which is the telling it which highlight to set. That's F4, highlight 1. And 129 to say set it as an underline instruction. Now, if we press L again, we'll get the next command, which we'll press L.
PL50.
Now, that is the page length, PL, in the margin, and 50 on the screen to tell it to have a page length of 50. Now, press L again, we'll get our new ruler, which is the same now as the top one. Except that on the top ruler it said FJ to tell us that justification was on, whereas on this ruler it starts with two full stops. Now, wherever you set a new ruler in your text, those two full stops appear in the margin. So the word processor, whenever it sees two full stops in the margin, knows that the ensuing line is a new ruler and will obey it. And then we have the greater than and the less than for the two margin stops. So we're now on a clear line, ready to enter text.
Exit.
Now I pressed it return to exit, and I also pressed return again to make sure there's an empty line under the ruler. The reason for doing this is that I sometimes, very stupidly, start typing in the ruler, and that it makes rather a mess of things. We'll put each line of this nursery rhyme as a paragraph. So we'll go in a few spaces, say 5 spaces. First of all, we'll quieten the computer, because the bleeps you've been hearing are rather loud, and we have the facility to adjust the volume of the bleeps, among other things. And what we do is, we get into screen reading, tab.
Screen reading.
And we press the number sign, or hash key, which unlocks the facilities that you've got. So here we go.
Unlocked.
Unlocked. And if we press Control and D, you'll hear it say, do you have a Braid speech synthesizer? Here we go.
Do you have a Braid-type synthesizer?
Now, if we put Y for yes, this is what happens.
Braid-type set now, press new character to enter screen reading.
That says Braid-type now set. Now enter new character to enter screen reading. That means you can change it so that when you press tab, it doesn't go into screen reading, but you need to press something different, which you can specify. So we'll press tab to say we want tab to remain the key to take us into screen reader.
New interrupt character set new volume for sound 1, 2, 3, or 4.
That says new interrupt character set. Although we haven't changed it, we've kept it at tab. We could have changed it. Then it says set new volume 1, 2, 3, or 4. That means if you type 1, it's extremely quiet. If you type 2, it's fairly quiet. If you type 3, it's noisier, and if you type 4, it's as we've been listening to it, fully full volume. So we'll type 2. Now we'll press return, and it will say exit.
Exit.
Now, if you wish to go into lowercase, you press the caps lock, which we'll do. Now, if we enter characters, they'll go into lowercase unless we tell them otherwise with shift right. Here we go. Capital J.
T. C. A.
Space.
I. D.
Capital.
A. U.
We'll leave that U. J. U.
L. L.
Space. I'm trying to think what mistakes to make. We've made one inadvertently, so we'll leave that U in.
W-E-N-D. U-D.
Now we'll run the hill together without a space.
D-H-E-H-I-L-L.
Should put a comma there, but we'll put a right parenthesis deliberately.
Right parent.
Space.
D-O-F-E-D-C-H.
Okay.
L-E-O-N-W-R.
Water.
D-R-I-R.
New line. Five spaces in again, or we'll, we go two lines, as we would with a paragraph, and five spaces in.
A-F-C-F-A.
Oh, we've left in, we've got an F in there, we'll leave it in.
S-E-L-L-D-O-W, then,
comma,
and R-O-A-F-H.
Ah, I keep touching that F. It's very sensitive. We'll leave it in. F.
I.
How did we put the H?
Delete I.
Delete the I and delete the next letter. And if it says F, we'll know it's the F we missed the H. So.
Delete H.
Well, the H was there, so we'll put it back.
H-I-L-L.
I've lost where I've got to now. What we better do is tab into screen reader.
Screen reading.
Read up, go up a line with U, and now using L, read the line.
Text fell down some blank road still.
Ah, we've made a mistake there, and broke. It should have been his. We'll leave it for now. I will tab out a screen reader.
Exit.
Crown.
C S. D-E-F-R-O-W-N.
Broke his crown, comma, that's that line. We go up two, because we're making them paragraphs. Go in five spaces and say, and.
N-E-J-U-L.
I've done it again.
L.
It's the awkward angle I'm sitting at.
C-R-L-E.
We don't want the E. We wanted an I.
I N T F T E L.
We've got aftel instead of after. Full stop.
Period.
Now that's the end of our text.
Well, once again, we must leave Albert Yule and bring him on again next time. We have one other little thing to tell you about. At the beginning of the tape, Frank told you that we had been to the BCAB exhibition in Edinburgh on the 2nd of June. BCAB standing for British Computer Association for the Blind, which had apparently been going for about 40 years. We enjoyed the exhibition very much, held at the Roxburgh Hotel in Edinburgh. We were there from 11 till 4 and took the Sony WMD6C with us. We got a lot of recordings, over an hour's worth, which I have now edited down onto scrap tape, and just a little bit from it this time round. This is about a very interesting machine which I had a look at. Was explained to me that at the time Frank was talking to someone, so you'll hear me talking about it on the tape. So here goes. Right, the machine we have here is the Albert Braille Terminal, which is about 2 foot wide, a foot deep, and about an inch and a half thick. This terminal can be used with other PC computers. The normal keyboard can be put on top of it where there is a space. However, what is shown on the screen on a normal computer is shown on a line as wide as the display you want, just below the normal type keyboard on this terminal.
The Grail is an excellent Grail. What we have is CS and general high quality design. Now, to the left of the writing of this line is three things. The left hand one being letter of the alphabet showing the line you are on of your 25 line screen. The second one
is the line number for the Braille display.
Yes.
And the third one is to do with colour and background.
Yep.
Now, what we have also to the left, if you want to see the cursor, it is a dot four sign. And you can move it to a letter you want. For instance, instead of having it at the beginning of the line, you can go to the word high. Now, above the Braille display are lots of little
micro switches. It's called the touch.
Micro switches. So, as you bring the cursor to the H of high by pressing one of these micro switches just above the H, and where's it gone?
It's all right. There you go.
And yes, it's now on the H of high. And also, if it is three lines above, you can press the micro dot three times and it will come down to the line. Below the Braille line is the ruler, as on a normal typewriter, with numbers at
five. So it goes A for 5, cell 6, then B for cell 11, then A 15, and so on.
Yes, and also numbers 21, 41, 61, etc. Below that, on the edge of the board, there are some things with letters on. On the left hand side, P.
So P for the program key. And H for the home key, with the Braille display to the top line display. C is the cursor key, that will jump the Braille display to the line where the cursor is.
And then we have up, these are duplicated. After that, long bars, two long bars staying down, and another little short bar staying up, which is
how you operate the Braille display up and down the screen.
And this is so you can use both thumbs and your fingers to read and all sorts of things like that. Have I missed anything out?
No, I think you've done a lot.